Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for another podcast. My name is Patty. The shop is Herbs to Your Health. Thank you for the referrals. Thanks to all of the people who listen to the podcast. And thank you for emailing questions. Just got one in the past week. And the question is, how exactly does vitamin C work for everything in the body? Great question, one of my favorite topics. To understand how vitamin C works in the body, you need to know that vitamin C is an antioxidant and that all disease results from oxidation or inflammation. Oxidation means that you lose electrons from molecules that oxidate and become inactive. Vitamin C and other antioxidants, when you get enough of them in the right spot, can donate electrons or re-donate electrons to those oxidized biomolecules and restore them to normal function. It's also important to understand that vitamin C, through many different mechanisms, at least 20, supports a strong immune system and specifically causes the production of more antibodies, more interferon, greater numbers of T cells and B cells. So by all those mechanisms, vitamin C supports a healthy body and reverses disease. Vitamin C is like the muscle of the immune system. Just about any disease label will get better. The question is how much? Because all disease is increased oxidative stress. It's the only reason it wouldn't help someone is if you don't get enough of it, or there are absorption problems, or they're taking brand X and maybe it has arsenic in it, or you're not consistent. You know, that a huge reason people say vitamin C doesn't really help them: they don't take enough, they don't take it every day. But if you take enough, you will notice a positive effect. If you take substantial amounts of vitamin C, I guarantee you, you're gonna get a positive response. Depending on the disease, depending on the person, depending on how long you've had it, vitamin C is good for Lyme disease, Epstein-Barr, acute infection, chronic diseases, any kind of chronic diseases. The pathogens aren't so readily seen, they're hiding, but if you take a large enough quantity of vitamin C and it gets where it needs to go, it will reverse the chronic disease. Many thousands of articles are out there documenting adequate amounts of vitamin C on infectious diseases and chronic diseases. Ester C is a no-no. Too much calcium is not good for the body. Vitamin C doesn't cause kidney stones. Calcium oxalate causes kidney stones. If you worry about taking too much vitamin C, that's kind of like worrying about eating too many organic vegetables. You will develop a new health awareness when you take supplements. Vitamin C can improve your kidneys. It can clear out or dissolve kidney stones. There is literally no upper limit to the amount of vitamin C you can take. Curcumin, vitamin D3, and vitamin C regenerate the pancreas. Vitamin C is full of electrons. Estrogen, testosterone, adrenal hormones are all regenerated with vitamin C. Pomegranates look like ovaries, so if you eat pomegranates or drink Tygo, it's like bioidentical hormones. Aloe translates into youthfulness. Medicinal and traditional foods support an inborn set of resilience and longevity programs that are our birthright. They're like a software upgrade. Ginkgo has survived a nuclear holocaust. So ginkgo has the ability to confer longevity. Polyphenols have powerful antioxidant properties. They come from plants. Polyphenols are produced in response to stress. The role in the plant is to act as a resilience compound during times of stress. Polyphenols, therefore, impart resilience to people who eat the plants. Oh, about, I don't know, 25 years ago, a couple came in with two small children who had been to Children's Hospital, Mayo Clinic, et cetera, and what they came away with was if you give children, or anybody, if anybody eats plants, it's a bad thing because of that concept. I forget how exactly they explained it to me, how it was explained to them, but it was completely and totally preposterously wrong, but they still believed it. It's certainly not true. Plants cannot hurt children or people. It was like, you know, well, never mind. The quality of your life, you know, versus the quantity of your life. I mean, I hear people say all the time, I don't want to live to be an old person if I'm going to spend it in a nursing home or in bed or whatever. So, you know, neither do I. We want to grow old without aging, or do the best we can. So far this year, 6 people have had adrenal exhaustion. I don't know why it's so rampant. Maybe it always has been. I remember asking a medical professional what, this was many, many years ago, decades, what's going around now? And the person said, everything is always going around. I meant like what flu or whatever. So maybe a lot of people have adrenal exhaustion. You know, do you feel burned out? Sometimes life can become overwhelming, especially after a person has experienced a series of difficult life experiences. You can kind of reach the stage where you don't feel like you can take it anymore. People can feel tired during the day, and it's like somebody said to me, well, this was a while ago, I fight sleep all day long, and I fight not being able to sleep all night long. It's insidious. People can experience difficulty concentrating or remembering things or thinking clearly. Usually stress causes that. In addition, people are more easily upset emotionally. They can feel irritable or burst into tears over little things. This could be accompanied by feeling chronically nervous or anxious or depressed. You know, what compounds the whole problem of exhausted adrenals is disturbed sleep. So, you know, you can fall asleep maybe, but then you wake up and, okay. If this sounds like you or someone you know, then this information is definitely for you. People have called this chronically stressed state by many names. Old school Western doctors called it enervation. Modern medicine commonly calls it chronic fatigue syndrome or systemic exertion intolerance disease, SEID. I call it adrenal fatigue or simply adrenal exhaustion, or you could just call it burnout. Whatever you want to call it, burnout destroys a person's enjoyment in life. it makes them more prone to infections as well as many chronic and degenerative diseases. Here's the thing about that. If you know it's happening or you're headed for it, you know, you can kind of head it off at the pass. Or if it's too late, but you know what to do, you know. So the first phase is the alarm phase. We've all experienced that alarm phase when something startles you, flight or fight. And that is, there's an instant heightening of the sympathetic nervous system, which causes a flood of epinephrine to be released in the body. Epinephrine increases heart rate and blood pressure. It shunts blood away from the skin to the muscles, inhibits digestive function, and otherwise prepares the body to take action. But, you know, you're probably just sitting there being stunned. And phase two is resistance. The body's trying to get back to normal, but it's unable to do so. Phase three is exhaustion. In exhaustion, the body has become so drained and depleted from the lack of R&R, rest and relaxation, that it loses strength to continue. It's without downtime, the body can enter a state of constant alarm where the person feels always on alert. This creates a chronic feeling of fear, anxiety, or nervousness. In this stage of stress, the person is chronically tired but unable to sleep. So how do we recover? All these stages require a recovery period before the body can return to equilibrium. Distress remedy is good for phase one. When the stress is ongoing, we need to make a more deliberate effort in helping the body cope with ongoing difficult circumstances. The temptation is to forge ahead because we're all soldiers. But the body is telling us that we need to sit, you know, just deliberately make time for stress recovery. Also, get a good night's sleep. So, you know, a lot of things we could say about sleep. Plan time for relaxation. Feed the nerves. NutriCalm, which contains B complex vitamins, vitamin C, herbs, and other substances to both calm and feed the nervous system. Use adaptogens to modulate stress. And then to recover from the exhaustion phase, sleep. Sleep will help us do that. Adrenal support is very helpful for people who are burned out. It helps to rebuild and rest the adrenal glands. It can be taken in addition to nervous fatigue formula or thyroid support or some other like Target TS2. Magnesium is super important. Vitamin B12 is so many B's. Just take all the B's that you can. There's a doctor who I listen to. I'm pretty sure he's in California, and I think he's about 88 or 89 years old now. Very healthy man. He said, take enough B vitamins that you turn every time you urinate, it's bright yellow. So that means you're taking too many B's. Actually not, your body knows what to do with them. He says that will ensure that you're taking enough B's. The adrenals are the glands of adaptation. They respond to both stress and fear. Strong adrenals allow someone to handle stressful situations calmly. Poor adrenal function raises anxiety levels and makes us more fearful and worried about life. The adrenals are associated energetically with the solar plexus, our center of gravity, and hence help us to remain centered. failing to listen to our gut reaction, our intuition, and suppressing our emotions, especially anger, will stress the solar plexus and not only weaken the adrenals, but could create a hiatal hernia type condition that, you know, it's kind of like we can no longer digest life. Healthy adrenals keep us calm, centered, emotionally stable, and able to respond well in stressful situations. Weak adrenals make us timid, fearful, filled with worry, rigid, inflexible, and contribute to states of anxiety. So that's why we, if you feel like you have adrenal fatigue, it's, you know, time to go to bed by, I don't know, some people say 9 o'clock, some people say 8:30, and then we have to eat the right stuff, of course. Adrenal support has schisandra, licorice, B complex vitamins, vitamin C, zinc, magnesium, potassium, borage oil. And then we have a lot of herbs for emotional healing. Plants can help us balance emotionally. So, you know, it's really not good to override the body's messages. And certainly if you've lived in your body for many decades, you know when you're overriding your emotions. Sometimes you just can't do anything about it right now. So it's like, you know, let's shove that down and I'll bring that back up later. But then do we ever have any time to bring it back up later? Negative emotions are sensations that tell us that something is wrong. If we deny the emotion, it causes us to start disconnecting from the awareness of the emotions. The whole idea of emotional balance is to identify what the emotion is telling us we need to do, then do it. Very, very empowering. Trust. I've seen so much suffering with people who fail to listen to their intuition. And then they get sign after sign after sign after sign and still want to override that and do what somebody else is telling them to do or do it out of fear. You know, anger, grief, fear, guilt, blame. If we are denying or suppressing them, not a good thing. Anger is the emotional energy that allows us to say no. You don't really have to yell at someone or raise their voice, just a simple no. You, if you're a people pleaser or a doormat, you know, the flip side blames other people for your anger. That's just stupid, right? Let's own it. So we want to have balance, find solutions that are mutually beneficial. There are herbs for denying or suppressing anger, believe it or not. Goldenrod grows in a big bunch. Each individual stalk and flower is unique. It's helpful for maintaining your individuality in a group. Echinacea. There's a strong correlation between anger and immunity because anger suppresses your immune system. So echinacea is really good for self-criticism. It restores your sense of self-worth, gives you a positive sense of self. Yarrow helps people who are empathetic not take on other people's problems. It helps people to not over empathize and helps us not to feel responsible for other people. We can't rescue everyone, can we? Let's work on ourselves. Burdock helps strengthen gut instincts. Its classic use is as a blood purifier. It cleans toxins out of the blood. When you don't stand up for yourself, you send the body the message that I'm not worth standing up for. Burdock is a very hardy plant, very substantial, deep-rooted. It's a nourishing, alterative herb. So that's a good one to take. For anger management, if you're angry or irritable, hawthorn cools and soothes anger. Willow bark is good for people who are inflexible, like it's either black or white, no gray. Good, it's good for people to learn the lesson of the willow tree. You know what a willow tree does. In a big wind, the branches that bend survive, the rigid ones don't. So have you noticed that we have less ability to adapt as we get older? Or like my dad used to say, routine. We like routine. Willow helps us not be so set in our ways as we get older. Calendula, which is found in distress remedy, is for people who allow their anger to inflict wounds. They're mean. It helps them to understand they're harming people. They're not sensing the damage or pain that causes others. Chamomile is for babies of any age, for people who are irritable and angry. You know, if the three-year-old throws a temper tantrum, okay, we'll give him some, but what adult does that? But I would give him a cup of chamomile tea or some chamomile capsules. For people who get upset way out of proportion to the situation, grief or sorrow is when we lose something or someone we valued. When we deny or suppress grief, it's hardening your heart. Rose hips opens and protects the heart. Lung support is very helpful. Also, milk thistle formulas for anger and liver balance. Yerba Santa is good for repressed grief. Okay. Moving back to, I just wanted to say about a person who doesn't even live in this country, actually lives in Portugal, and she goes to Brazil for like 3 months out of the year. And the last time she was in Brazil, she had a terrible case of adrenal exhaustion. And so the healer came and said, no, you're going to be fine. And then after talking to her for a few minutes, kneeled down by her bed and started praying. And she said, oh yeah, he gets it. She said, I really felt like my spirit was leaving my body. And I've heard that from 4 out of the 6 people. 2 weren't quite as bad, or maybe they were and didn't say so. Okay, a person came in and wanted to know what we do here. Oh my gosh, how much time do you have? So we do, it's like personalized health. It's not about a label or a diagnosis. So I don't want to know what other people have labeled you as or given you a diagnosis of, because, you know, I want to figure it out myself. So not knowing what other people have told you, here's the thing about that. You start believing it. I haven't, but people do. So in personalized health, it's all about you, so it enables us to look at causes and remedies. The first thing that is super important is the acid-alkaline balance. Survival of the physical body requires that our cells be on the alkaline side of neutral. That means that we must have enough minerals, especially magnesium and potassium, for our cellular batteries or mitochondria to function. We need magnesium to protect the essential fats when they're in transit. So if you're concerned about cell efficiency, cell energy, cell resilience, and why wouldn't you be? Then you'd want to know how to keep your cells healthy and alkaline. In a physiologic, not pharmacologic way. Too many people are in survival mode, close to the acidic side. So, you know, if you are behind someone in the grocery store who lines up all of the six packs of pop on the edges of their cart, you might think they would be acidic. Honestly, I don't pay attention to what other people buy anymore. It's too distressing. So we want to shift to the elective protective mode. That's how we invoke the healing response. Pay attention to hydration. Most of us are way below where we should be in terms of hydration. So drink more water. Our vitamin C is buffered in time release. So it's not going to cause bowel intolerance unless you take a whole bunch. We need to have a super multivitamin. I like MegaCal, or you could take super supplementals. Somebody asked me recently, how much zinc should I take? Take enough zinc so you can taste and smell and avoid respiratory illnesses. And don't just take it when you think you were exposed to something. Okay, I could go on there. The most common deficiency in Western civilization is vitamin C. The next one is magnesium. Magnesium makes you alkaline. Lack of magnesium makes you acidic. Make sure you're getting your EPA and DHA like krill oil or super omega. The standard American diet has too much omega 6. Make sure you have enough B's and minerals. If you follow the alkaline way, you can build new bone in 2 years. Magnesium is the second most important molecule in healthy cells. Several billion dollars of calcium blocker drugs are sold every year because millions of people have too much calcium and a lack of magnesium. Next, we want to eliminate toxins. You know, when you eat a plant-based diet with lots of garlic and ginger and onions and broccoli and cauliflower and eggs, those are natural toxin eliminators. Vitamin C is the ultimate antitoxin. It's a natural detoxifier. It has a synergy of benefits. Everything works together like a symphony. For liver health, we want to make sure we have enough D3, which is actually not a vitamin, it's a neurohormone. Make sure you have enough of all these nutrients because we can't make a lot of them, and we don't make any vitamin C. We have an intoxicated 21st century, so we always have to think about antitoxins and detoxifying the body. People call me regularly and ask, you know, the train derailment, what would you recommend? Well, take a lot of supplements, eat healthy food, get an indoor air purifier. It's our lifestyles. Oh, you can also take cellular detox. Our lifestyles equal epigenetics. Since the early 1970s, the National Institute of Health has validated that it's 92% of your ability to survive and thrive well and grow old without aging. Only 8% is genetics. So maybe you inherited a long lifespan from your ancestors. Honestly, that's only 8%. So the good is only 8%, the bad's only 8%. When people say, everyone in my family was diabetic or everyone in my family had heart disease, that's only 8%. It's what kind of lifestyle you have that will evoke the healing response. Nature, nurture, and wholeness. We can correct and repair deficits. We can correct and repair nutritional deficiencies. So it's like a makeover. We guide you out of sick care and into healthful care. The most important thing is to do it. People say, what's the best time of the day to take supplements? Whenever you're going to take them. So, you know, it's 5% of your day taking supplements. Be your own health coach. Use your body as your own science experiment. It's much more cost effective. Thank you very much for joining me today. And happy spring on Monday, and happy birthday to Anne, who works at Herbs to Your Health. Have a great weekend. Bye.